This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Damn, I'm gonna check you.
Yeah, Steiny.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson, and we are rolling through a Wednesday. Woo! Yeah, having a little bit of fun. It's moving.
I've seen you smile a couple times.
Yeah, wish the best for Guru. Hopefully he gets some stuff. We wish him well. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. We're just talking about the A's moving. Final homestand of all time, apparently, is coming up tomorrow. They play tonight and then tomorrow.
Yeah, the one thing I would encourage people to do is not vandalize the Coliseum. And this isn't like a, you know, respect it or whatever. It's like it's still going to be used in the future. So I saw people ripping seats out of the ground yesterday and stuff. It's like the Oakland Roots are still going to play there. There's still going to be things happening at the Coliseum. So I would encourage people to just not do that.
That's fair.
As much as they can. I mean, I know a lot of people are pretty pissed and angry.
Right.
And there's certainly reason to be frustrated. And not a lot of people have an outlet to discuss it like we get to, but please just don't vandalize the Coliseum.
That's fair. Let's go to Fred. Fred's in Belmont. Hey, Fred, how you doing?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for kind of taking my call. You know, I hopped in here after I heard you, Steiny, talk about why doesn't he just sell the team.
Yeah.
I used to be upset with Manfred, but this is squarely on the owner. So I got two things. One, the owners could have went to Manfred and said, hey, let's do him like Donald Sterling. Let's get him a buyer. Let's get him a price and say, you are no longer a part of the club because of what you've done to this team. It's an abomination. The A's are a classic franchise. We ain't the Marlins. We ain't the Rockies. We've had all kind of amazing historical players. We've been involved in historical World Series. It is an abomination how this is happening to the franchise. That's one. And two, this may have been mentioned before, but if it has, I'm going to mention it again. I don't see the A's leaving Sacramento. They don't have money for the stadium in Vegas. They're already about to tear the Tropicana down in Vegas in the next, I believe, 69 months. They want to open, what, is it 2028, I believe? He doesn't have any funding for that. There's no kind of way in the world Vegas is going to have a big empty hole on the strip while he fumbles around and fiddles around with how to get money to build a stadium when I believe he's the fourth richest owner in Major League Baseball. And with that being said, in Sacramento, he's got a willing sucker in Vivek Ranadive who he can go ahead and help have him buy into the team. Up there, they can figure out how to build whatever type of stadium on some cheaper land, and he still would have access to the Bay Area TV market. And I was talking with someone the other day, and I was like, well, yo, the Giants got to approve that. I can easily see that being done. So, again, I don't see the A's moving to Vegas. I see them staying in SAC. Thank you for letting me get on and share my opinion.
Absolutely, Fred. Thank you. I wouldn't bet on the A's ending up in Vegas. I just wouldn't.
Look, to me, it doesn't matter. The whole point is that they're not going to be playing in Oakland. I mean,
that's true. It doesn't matter.
Were they playing Sac? They play in Vegas. They could play in Saskatchewan, New York. Like, it doesn't matter. Like,
I don't know the answer to this.
I mean, people are sad.
Can Sacramento? Is it? Could Sacramento have a Major League Baseball team and support it?
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
then I could see something happening there.
You know, I might not be a big fan of Vivek and the way that he's kind of used this opening to get into Major League Baseball, but at the same time, he's a big reason the Sacramento Kings are still in Sacramento as opposed to Seattle. They almost left.
True. That's true.
He's got a lot of money, and he's put his money where his mouth is. So from that standpoint, yeah, and there's a large NorCal fan base that I think generally supports the Giants. A lot of my friends from Sacramento are Giants fans.
Okay.
But I don't see why they wouldn't try and embrace the A's if they actually got a local team. You know, I don't know.
The one thing I learned about owners if you're the 32 Major League Baseball owners, is the one thing that's not going to happen is 31 owners alienating or ostracizing or kicking out one owner, unless it's, you know, something like Donald Sterling, where it affects the bottom line of an entire league. Like, the way the owners think is, we can't do this to John Fisher because they could do it in Pittsburgh next or Tampa Bay. And you just, this is, unfortunately, it's their company. He owns it.
Well, all right. You ever seen the movie The Natural?
Yeah. Robert Redford?
Yeah. Yeah, Robert Redford. Was it Robert Duvall?
Gina Davis?
That's League of Their Own. But but in The Natural, the owner of the team.
Right.
He sits in this dark room with the shade down. It's theatrical, but that's essentially what every owner is. Like, they're in their dark room by themselves, and they don't interact with the normal folk, and they own their team. They're not going to go against one of their own unless it's, like, right, absolutely last chance, unless it's going to hurt their bottom line. And I know John Fisher stinks in every sense of the word, but the bottom line has gone up in recent memory across Major League Baseball. Teams are making more money than ever. Business is good.
Right.
It doesn't matter about the popularity of the game or how people feel here in Oakland. They're making money hand over fist, and as long as that continues, they have no reason to exercise one of their own. That's just the reality of the situation, and it sucks because, to be honest, if they were going to kick John Fisher out of their ranks, they would have done it years ago.
Like, that's true.
I mean, this isn't a new problem. It just is coming to a head because the lease of the Coliseum is finally up at the end of 2024, and they got to find a new place to play.
If you build a baseball stadium in Sac, it's got to be domed, right? Got to be a dome.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
Really?
Well, it should, but it doesn't have to be, and that's why that's not the only issue that's going on in Sac.
Oh, what else?
They don't have a clubhouse that connects to the field.
That doesn't sound very major league.
They don't have offices. They're basically, like, I don't know if you ever had in middle school when they're like redoing, you know, the buildings or whatever, and you got to be in these, you know, trailers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically going to be the A's front office next year, from my understanding.
I gotcha. Speaking of something like that, I was watching my Tulane Green Wave this past weekend.
Oh yeah.
They won. They're now 2-2. We're about to get on a roll, by the way. Go Green Wave. They played Louisiana.
They started the AAC yet?
Not yet, no. Okay. They played Louisiana last week. Formerly Louisiana Lafayette. And the stadium's under construction. So the stadium on the one side had all this brick, and nobody sat there. And they were all sitting on the other side, for whatever that's worth. I just thought that was interesting. Tulane's pretty good. They're going to be all right. They're going to be all right.
How come they don't want to join the Pac?
I don't know.
The new Pac-12.
I don't know. Maybe because they've got certain academic standards at Tulane, and they don't want the Pac-12 dragging them down.
That's the reason.
That might be the reason. I don't know.
I always wonder if it's like, I don't know, if you worry about, I don't even think it has to do with competition. Usually it doesn't have to do with just money. Maybe the deal wasn't good enough for them. Like, for example, Gonzaga is getting an equal revenue share of the Pac-12, I don't know, whatever, split. But they don't have a football team. Like, I think right. that's how the Pac-12 enticed Gonzaga to bring their basketball program in and say, it doesn't matter that you don't have football, you don't have to compete, we'll still give you an equal share because your basketball program is that dominant and we want an affiliation with you. Which also has now opened up the door for, I mean, just an Ottoman Empire-like reign for St. Mary's College in the WCC. I mean, once the Gonzaga Bulldogs are out, watch out.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Randy Bennett. All right, let's get back to a little football.
Let's do it. A portables. Oh, thank you, Dante.
Should we take it? He's starting to make a name for himself out here.
Is this our boy in Boston?
Yeah. I full disclosure. It says J Dog in Boston. Parentheses. If you don't want to take it, you don't have to. Let's go, J-Dog. I'll give you a forum. I'm not about censorship here. What's up, J-Dog? Well, go ahead. Rip him.
First of all, I appreciate you taking my call, this great show, this great station. But just please, just for the callers in the East Coast, just lay off the baseball talk. Baseball sucks. And more importantly, Giants baseball is snooze fest radio. Okay?
But how, you know what, J-Dog, as long as I have you on the phone, I mean, come on. You're not putting yourself in our shoes. It'd be like if the Red Sox left. And even though you don't like baseball, come on. That hurts.
Nah, I get you. I'm sorry. I apologize. Barry Bonds is my favorite player of all time, but I do apologize. I'm sensitive. Now, let's just talk meat and potatoes, Stiney. Okay. I know you think I'm just this irrational Kyle Shanahan hater.
Not necessarily.
No matter what, I just want to ask him, and it's just this. But it's just, you know, I'm looking around the NFL, and I'm seeing all these coaches at the top of the NFL, the Super Bowl contenders, and what are they doing? They're playing a lot of their young guys, you know. Why is it that Shanahan doesn't play the young guys unless he has to? I mean, realistically, we probably wouldn't even see Jordan Mason if Christian McCaffrey wasn't hurt. He probably would have ran Christian McCaffrey into the ground just like he did last year. And now we see Jordan Mason, what is he, probably top three or number one leading the league in rushing. You know what I mean? So when you have this team that has these years and years of deep playoff runs, it's beneficial to you. Get some of these guys playing time early that have been in camp all year, and they can take the beating, they can take the pounding, and then you can ease in your Debo and your Ayuk and everybody like that during the year. You know what I mean? This is what I see with these great coaches doing. You know what I mean? And when you look at a guy like Sean McVay, you know, he's playing these young guys. These young guys on the offensive line are getting great reps, guys that have been in camp. And guess what? Now you got a guy like Cooper Kupp, Puka Nakata that got hurt, and they could kind of come back and ease their way in. I think Sean McVay just does a hell of a job. It's like he took Kyle's playbook and Kyle's whatever Kyle does and just took it to another level. And I'm just so sick of the fact that it's almost like Kyle can literally hand the ball to the other team and you guys, Kyle Shanahan supporters, still don't care. You don't look at the obvious. You know what I mean? Like, you sign Kyle Shanahan, you sign off on the that release or whatever, and that's coming. You know, you got all these bums. You got Collins and Gross Matos and every stiff we got from Cleveland, and they don't even amount to one Eric Armstead. That was a mistake. We're not even going to go back to the DeForest Buckner stuff and all of that.
All right.
But it's just like you go into the season with Colt McKivitz after you got four quarterbacks killed 2 years prior.
All right. I'll tell you what, J-Dog. J-Dog, you know this. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. I mean, I can't argue with the main premise that if you're getting to be a more veteran team, you probably should work in some youngsters, but is there a parallel, Evan, to be made? And I know that the 49ers haven't won a Super Bowl, but is there a similarity between Steve Kerr and Kyle Shanahan? They prefer veterans in a big way. They just trust them.
I also don't think that's a Niners-specific team. And we get siloed in here, but look, I'm just looking up and down at the rookies from this most recent class.
Yep.
The one that's played the biggest role for a team that is, well, we'll say, like, you know, has the same expectation as the Niners is probably Xavier Worthy, you know, for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's been getting some run. But, like, Jacob Cowing is a fourth-round pick. Isaac Garendo is a later pick. Ricky Pearsall, unfortunately, was injured. Hasn't had a chance to play. But if you look at the receiving leaders among rookies, okay, Malik Nabers was the sixth overall pick. Right. Marvin Harrison Jr. is the fourth overall pick. Brock Bowers, 13th overall pick. Brian Thomas, 23rd overall pick. Rumba Dunze, 9th overall pick. McConkey, an early second. Like, and if you just go through the running backs, the rookie who is leading all first-year players in rushing yards is Jaden Daniels. He's a quarterback. Bucky Irving's a backup running back for Tampa Bay. It's not as if across the league, coaches just throw rookies into the fire and they immediately succeed. So I don't think Shanahan, I hope it doesn't sound like I'm, you know, defending him. I think he makes mistakes like every head coach. But guys just don't let rookies run roughshod. That's not how it works. So like the fact that they have a starting right guard who's a rookie this year is growth from Kyle Shanahan. And Dominic Pooney has been probably one of the few guys on that line who hasn't been in the, you know, the bullseye mark of PFF.
Right.
It's been Brendel. It's been McKivitz. It's been basically everybody around him. You know, so sure, can Kyle Shanahan trust his younger players more? Probably. But he's not the only one that doesn't do it.
No, and I mean, if you look at what happened Sunday against the Rams, you know, Mustafa had a chance to make a play, and he didn't make it. And maybe the next time he makes it. I also think it does have something to do with where the 49ers are. If it is truly, you know, at the end of their run, if this is their last best chance to win it, well, then you know the direction he's going to go in. He's going to go with the veterans. Now, the question is, if you look at a guy like, let's say, Pooney, or let's even say Garendo, or, I mean,
like what have I told you? Renardo Green's going to start this week because Isaac Yiadom has been absolutely abysmal.
I would
say,
yeah, let's give him a try.
Okay, so that's putting trust in a rookie. He's your second round pick. Is your corner?
But I think what people quibble about is like Isaac Garendo is getting carries because McCaffrey's out. So I think what people believe is that the only time he goes to a young player, it's always more out of necessity than maybe lengthening the careers of the veteran players, or at least taking a load off the veteran players to give them a better chance later in the season.
I'm trying to win football games.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm not saying that I adhere to that, because for the longest time, when we talked about the Warriors and their young players, I just simply always asked, how are they going to play? I mean, they're not good enough to play on this team right now.
Or the players. Again, it's out of necessity. For example, Devondre Campbell is, you know, not very good last week. He brought in D. Winters to replace him, and then D. Winters got hurt. Okay, so you got to go back to the vet. Like, you know, young players, it takes time. They're not just going to step in and you're not going to have, like, not every player can just be basically a, you know, a Jaden Daniels who's going to come in and transform your franchise. That's not how it works, especially when you're picking at the place that the Niners are. I thought they had a really good draft this year. You know, and sure, Jordan Mason has been buried, I guess, but that's also because up until this year, you had Elijah Mitchell. Like, we might have not seen Jordan Mason if Elijah Mitchell was healthy this season. You know, and he's out for the year with, a hammy, but that's, I don't know, like, I feel like that's how football works. You know, you play your best players, and the only time that you go to your depth or your young guys is when those best players are out.
I do wonder about something the caller said about the only reason Jordan Mason has gotten these touches, or at least the number of them, is because McCaffrey's hurt. Do you think, like, let me ask you this, and I know he's not healthy, but if McCaffrey came into this year after two seasons of heavy usage and he were ready for game one, do you believe that Christian McCaffrey would have accumulated over 300 touches again this year if he stayed healthy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
100%.
I do too. And I just think that's the way Kyle Shanahan coaches. If you're available, he's going to use you. And, like, I don't believe if McCaffrey weren't hurt, I don't think there's any part of Kyle Shanahan who would say, you know what, let's start limiting McCaffrey because he's 28, he just had two big years, and we got Jordan Mason. You know, let's make sure to get Jordan Mason some reps and take a little bit of the load off McCaffrey. I don't think that's the way Shanahan thinks.
Well, I think Mason got some burn during the postseason last year, you know, down the stretch of the Detroit game.
Did he?
It was either him or Mitchell. I mean, either or, but, and the 510 brings up a fair point. We're not asking him to let the man play 40 snaps, four or five snaps a game just to see what he got. I don't know about you, Steiny, but I feel like that's like asking Kerr to play a rookie for 5 minutes. That's unfair to the player to come in and just expect to be full bore for those five plays when you don't have any sort of rhythm. You know, in a way, I feel like the running back position, and people have talked about this, the running back position is a position in which you kind of build momentum over time. I mean, I remember listening to, I think it was LaDainian Tomlinson, talk about sometimes he didn't feel like he was into the rhythm of a game before he got 10 touches. Like, so just to expect a guy to come in and give you 5 yards of pop off the pine, in a perfect world, that's great.
Right.
But a lot of players can't just immediately be inserted into the game and be at their best. That's why the moment that... So let's go back to the Jets week one.
All right.
Sauce Gardner's off the field for, I don't know, some reason that Saleh talked. He wasn't hurt, but he just was off the field for a series. I don't think it's any coincidence that Brock Purdy started dialing up through the air on that series.
Right.
Because the entire secondary shifts when their best player's not on the field. So it's the same reason why if you see a veteran quarterback identify a rookie corner or a backup corner, the moment that guy steps on the field, they're going after him. It's the same reason why Matthew Stafford saw Devondre Campbell on the outside against the tight end, threw that ball up to him, because you pick out weaknesses.
Purdy did that to somebody on the Rams defense, too. The Rams lost one of their defensive backs, and he went right to somebody.
And that's a savvy play.
Yeah. I'm looking at some of Mason's numbers. So... he carried the ball 40 times last year, 43 the year before, and now he's already up to 67. As far as the playoffs go,
maybe it was Mitchell.
Yeah, I think you were thinking of Mitchell. Jordan Mason played, he had two rushing attempts in the 2022 playoffs. No rushing attempts last year. But, yeah, I don't know what the answer to that question is about how he would have used Mason if Christian McCaffrey were healthy this year. But I do think Kyle's the kind of guy who says...
Yeah, hey. Elijah Mitchell had the last touchdown of the NFC Championship game.
Okay. So, yeah, I do think that he looks at McCaffrey and says, McCaffrey can go, I'm going to play him. And what's he made his name on in this league? 25 touches a game. So that's what we're going to... That's what we're going to give him.
I mean, do you not want Christian McCaffrey to Well, like, if you're saying, okay, he's going to get hurt, then, yeah, of course you want to limit him.
Right.
But I want my best player touching the ball as much as humanly possible because that gives me the best chance to win the game.
I mean, yes. I mean, the problem with McCaffrey is he's so good out of the backfield that he's always going to play on third down. So he's always going to play every down, essentially, on offense. Even Jordan Mason comes off the field a little bit here and there. I mean, yeah, in a perfect world, you get McCaffrey 16 touches or 16 runs and Mason 8. But you can't always do that because all that stuff depends on the way the game's going. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. This is the What Did We Miss hour, I guess, because I'm going to come back and maybe talk a little Warriors. There's a couple little things we need to tell you about. And like I said, Media Day. Coming up on Monday on 95.7 The Game.